In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Okay. What I should do is like click and make you think it's not, like that it's recording, but it's not.
Okay.
And then.
Why would you do that?
It's less interesting than making you think I didn't record and then recording, I suppose, because then we record it. But I'm going to have to do it for next time because I actually, when you heard the click, hit record. So we're like 24 seconds in.
Well, what do you think I'm going to say?
You are a lot more racist when we're not recording.
Don't say that. People who don't know me might believe you.
That is why I say it. Because it's not funny to people who know you, because they're like, that's not true. But to people who don't know you, they're like, that fucker's a racist. Not on the air. And I'm like, yes. And then it's hilarious.
Yeah.
See?
No, I don't see. But that's all right. I don't see a lot of things.
Welcome, everybody, to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that cares enough to go for 46 episodes but doesn't care enough to do any good. Doesn't care enough to actually put any effort into the shows, but we'll keep them going.
It's like that employee that is always there, always shows up.
Yes.
Just doesn't do very much work.
Exactly. Except that employee gets paid.
Yeah.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode 46, right?
I don't know.
Jesus, you have one job. Hold on.
I was going to check before I came, but I was a little late, so
like,
I didn't have time.
Screw that.
Well, it's just like you said, we show up. That's what we do.
Yes, this is episode 46. Now, I do more than show up. I control the internet. With regard to this, and post about it, and...
Yeah, all I do is drive clear across town.
Hey, yes.
Once a week.
So there. Hey, I drive clear across this house. There is no reason for me to be in this room, except for the podcast. Seriously, I get home, I go in there, I hang out in that room where the TV and computer and stuff are, and couch... And I go in the kitchen for the food. Maybe I go down the hall for bathroom. Maybe not. Depends on my mood. There's no reason for me to come in here. I come in here specifically out of love for the podcast.
Okay.
So, I commit, damn it.
You are committed to this.
So much.
Because, seriously, all I ever do is drive here. Well, I drive home, but, you know.
And
that's not really very
give
much
the shit. Podcast much-needed character sympathy.
I don't know about that.
Because without you, it'd be like, so what's the podcast? Like, this asshole just talks for an hour.
Abuses the listeners.
Everybody, yeah.
But now he abuses this guy, so.
And see, and abusing you not only deflects it from them,
yeah.
But then they sympathize with you more. They're like, oh, he's so mean to William.
I was just going to say something that I'm not going to say.
Oh, okay then.
It wouldn't have been funny. Or maybe you would have thought it was funny, but I wouldn't have thought it was funny.
Dude,
but,
you know what?
And yet, it came up in my head to say it.
I was going to say, and you obviously don't know what's funny, because, like, the internet is in agreement that your funnel cake tirade is the funniest goddamn thing.
I still don't
ever.
Get it. I mean, I was just, that's, it's what happened.
Oh,
I was
God,
just talking about
hilarious.
It.
Hilarious.
And I guess I still don't know why.
Oh,
it was
God.
Funny, but that's all right. If it entertained people, I'm glad.
They don't even want funnel cake, but they see the line.
It's what happened.
Oh, that's hilarious. So how are you?
I'm okay. How are you? How was your week?
Pretty all right.
Did you consume any interesting media?
A little tiny bit. Well, actually, I finished Assassin's Creed.
Oh, you finished it? Okay.
I finished it, which was fun. And now I've started Mass Effect 2, and it is pretty gorgeous so far.
Okay, good.
I've gotten, caught up in it a couple times, where I've just got, Trish isn't paying attention on the screen, and then she's just looking at her computer, but then she hears me suddenly go, oh, shit. Everything on the screen gets quiet until she has to look up. So I'm enjoying that. We last night tried to watch a movie.
Tried to?
We tried, and we failed.
Oh. What happened?
Well, the movie we tried to watch was the Swedish version of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh. That's like the original version, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And we tried.
Yeah.
And we got about an hour in. We got to the point that I'm assuming most people familiar with the movie probably refer to as the scene.
Okay.
And then we stopped.
You just stopped?
Oh, yeah. In fact, what specifically happened was Trish stood up and headed out of the room. And I grabbed the remote and said, are you done? Because I'm totally done. And then we turned it off.
Oh, I see.
And then we watched stuff on our DVR.
So you just decided it wasn't for you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. In a big way.
I seem to recall we tried to watch it.
How'd you do?
Well, we didn't finish it, but I don't remember if that's because it was like we were trying to watch on Netflix and Netflix crapped out on us, or...
Netflix has had issues with their subtitles sometimes.
Seems like...
We've had other stuff that we tried to watch and their subtitles are screwed up so they're like behind the letterboxing and you can't read
them. Yeah, maybe that's what happened.
That was not our problem here.
Okay. I don't remember us stopping because of any issues with the film itself. So, yeah, so it must have been really thematically really very disturbing, huh?
Yeah. Okay. I was aware that, okay, people, there may be some spoilers here for people who literally know absolutely nothing about this film.
Okay.
For anybody who has read up anything on it at all, there will not be spoilers here. Girl with the Dragon Tattoo involves rape.
Yeah.
Well,
that's... A lot of people do know that, yeah.
Yes. And I knew that that was an element to the story.
Right.
I did not specifically know... I didn't know if this was something in the backstory before the movie, mm-hmm. or if this was something we'd gloss over, or what.
Right.
No. About an hour in, there is a not too short and really graphic and violent rape scene.
Oh.
I feel really bad because I didn't realize Trish knew nothing.
Oh.
Trish just knew it was a popular movie.
Oh, no, yeah.
So we stopped. Because I am not begrudging people. I don't believe it was done for sensationalist purposes. I believe this was trying to do a stark portrayal of some seriously bad shit that happens in the world.
Yeah, right.
I have personally have no need to see it, and there can be no payoff later in it that's going to make that worth it for
me. No, I'm exactly the same way.
And when I read up later on the whole trilogy of books, I think I'm glad I stopped. Although I'm sure that would be the most disturbing part to go through. Overall, the whole series is a crime thriller kind of thing,
uh-huh.
and it deals with a lot of crimes involving sexual abuse and physical abuse and sex trafficking and just lots of really disturbing shit like that.
Yeah.
And I think we were just snowed over because it has such mass appeal right now. I mean, it's not exactly on Oprah's book club, but lots of people are really into this. And I really find, given the subject matter, that's weird. I would not have expected that.
Yeah,
but then I remember that Law & Order SVU is a very popular show, which I have never watched and don't want to watch for very similar reasons. So maybe I just don't understand that people are really into crime stories about sexual abuse.
Well, you know, it could be. You know, this is tricky because I'm would probably have done the same thing. I'm the same way. If things get too graphic in a story, I just can't watch it. Not just sexual abuse, but that's probably more than any other kind.
I have certain triggers, and that's a pretty heavy one for me now. Yeah. And I think it's a as I get older thing. I do believe there is a period in the past where I could have seen something like this and not stopped, and not even been too bothered. I mean, I recall that in books. I recall reading books reading a book in the fifth grade with a rape scene, and remembering not finding it fun or anything, but I read through that part and went on from there. And finding other people years later when I would talk about the book, they were like, no, I couldn't get past that. And I always find that weird. And then years later as an adult, I read it and I'm like, holy crap. How was I just okay with this before?
Well, I think what happens is, you know, and like you say, you really can't begrudge someone for, you know, creating that piece of work or not having a problem with it. But I think a lot of people, and it does have a little bit to do with getting older, you get to know people who have been through similar things, and you get to know the issues that they have to deal with. And I think part of you starts to understand that some people who would have a hard time watching something like that, it's because they've experienced something similar, and it just brings to mind these things. And you have kind of a natural empathy toward those people in your life. And maybe you're not thinking about that consciously when it happens, but it just can't help sort of invade your thinking. It's like, this makes me very uncomfortable. I can't really deal with this.
I think of it as I get older, I have a better sense of what I want out of my media.
Oh, right, sure.
Mm-hmm. And I can handle some dark and disturbing shit in my media if what I get for it is worth that.
Right, right.
And I've hit the point where there are quite a few things that you're not going to show me anything that's worth it for that. And I think I may have talked about this on the podcast before. I know I've talked about it with you before. It's the reason I basically don't watch Holocaust movies anymore, ever. I still think they need to be made. I still think it's very important for people to understand the horrific stuff that happened.
Sure.
I know. And I will never forget. I never need to see it again.
Yeah, right. Right.
And this is the same sort of thing. From what I can tell, this series of books has some really stark images about some horrible shit that is happening in present day. And I mean, this particular story is fictitious, but this kind of shit happens and it's messed up and people need to know about it and it needs to be dealt with.
Right.
That being said, I already know that and I don't need to go through it for, I don't know, educational or entertainment purposes.
Right, right, right.
And going through that scene, a compelling story, which I'm sure it is, and a compelling character, doesn't make it worth it for me.
No.
And it does for some people, and that's fine, and I'm not judging anybody. But that's what it comes down to for me. It's very much what my brother-in-law dealt with. I gave my brother-in-law the first volume of Sandman. And I said, because, you know, he reads a lot of fantasy and stuff, I'm like, this really is darker. This is horror comic. And he read it, and he thought it was okay. He was not interested in continuing. And he's like, I've gotten to the point now where I'm not into that stuff. When I was younger, I might have found it really cool, but I'm just not into it now. And I think I'm pleased with myself that for a while when this kind of stuff would start happening, I felt bad that, like, I was sort of censoring myself and there was stuff I couldn't take anymore. Oh, yeah. But as I get older, I realize, no, I just know what is worth it for me to spend my time on and what isn't for me personally.
Right.
And that's not it. But it was really shocking to both of us. And I feel very bad for Trish, and I feel really stupid for me as to how I didn't put this together beforehand. But.
Wow.
So yeah, we stopped, and I don't intend to see the American film, I don't intend to read the books now, I'm done with the Millennium Trilogy in its forms.
Well, I haven't really done, like I said, I think we tried to watch it and it didn't work out. Obviously, we're not, like, burning to see it or anything like that, so I don't know if we'll try it or not, but yeah,
for those who care about that short of shit, there is vengeance for the rape later. So for some people, that evens it out.
That's true. It does for some people.
And not for me. Again, there might have been a time where it kind of did. But if you're worried about that, there's total they get what's coming to them. So there you go.
Well, another thing I think that impacts people really at any age, and maybe a little bit more when they get older, is people start to think of empathy in a different way. I know when I was a teenager, when I was 17, I went to work at a hospital because I wanted to be a doctor. And so this doctor in a Kentucky hospital said he'd take me around on rounds and stuff and sort of show me what, you know, the life of a physician is like. Lots of more paperwork than I thought. Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting. He also told me a lot of horror stories about malpractice insurance and things like that. But I think the thing that really made me decide I didn't want to do it was one day I got to the hospital and the doctor that I usually met, where I usually met him, he wasn't there. And I didn't know what was going on, but I heard in that hospital when someone was was going into cardiac arrest, they broadcast over the loudspeaker a code blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of other hospitals do it differently, like Dr. Blue or something, so they don't alarm other people in the hospital. But Code Blue was called, and it was only a two-story hospital, so I knew it wasn't going on in the story I was on, so I just went upstairs, and right outside the doorway was, I knew that's where it was, because not only was the door closed to the room, but the hospital chaplain was there with a woman who was sobbing.
Oh.
So I knew she'd been rushed out of the room and everything. I waited, and the doctor came out, and he gave her the bad news, said there was nothing they could do.
Oh, geez.
And so I walk with the doctor, and he's going to start his rounds, and he tells me that the guy was a heavy drinker. His liver just quit, and all the other organs started shutting down, and he passed away. And then he started to talk about what was going to happen on rounds. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I look back at the chaplain and the woman who was now inconsolable. And I thought, you know what? I feel like I have a lot more in common with that chaplain than I do with this doctor. And from that point on, not only had I decided I wasn't going to be a doctor, but I was a lot more squeamish about blood. I was a lot, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
my empathy quotient completely changed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just decided that I think doctors need to do what they do. And I don't begrudge them that they do that. They probably have to do that. But I didn't want that to be me.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot, and it's a very sliding scale thing, because having been raised by a nurse and married into a family with a nurse, like, I know all the things about doctors being assholes and having God complexes. I also know the reasons why some of those factors have to happen because of the way a doctor has to function.
Right, right.
And it's a sliding scale, and you can get some who do it too much and are assholes, and some of them who don't do it enough and are very good doctors because of it, and sorts of stuff in between.
They probably burn out faster that way.
And I think as you get older, I think the difference between empathy and and it was harder before, and it's there's stuff that in my stories and things, I need character sympathy. Sometimes character empathy can be a problem.
Yeah.
That's why I had to stop watching Dexter, because I had character empathy for the serial killer, because the show did it that well.
Well, sure, yeah.
After like two episodes, I had empathy for the serial killer, and that made me really uncomfortable.
Okay. Well, I think that would make me uncomfortable too.
Yeah, that show lost me because it was too good, basically. That show did what it was trying to do too well, and it made me really uncomfortable.
Well, actually, it's one of the reasons I've never stopped I've never started watching it, was because I know that the guy you're kind of supposed to like and connect with is a serial killer, and it's like, I just don't think that's going to make me feel very good after watching.
Well, and that's the problem. They do it. They do it really well, and it's really disturbing, like, to be, because, it's...
But obviously to some people it's not.
Well, again, this is a quality issue.
Yeah, yeah.
That show is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least it was back then. From what I know of later seasons, it may have done some shark jumping. But originally, that show was really good. But just in ways that don't work for me. There's a lot of shows nowadays that I think are really good that I don't want to watch. Most of them appear to be on AMC.
AMC, huh?
Yeah.
American Movie Classics?
There are two directly that I have watched and said, these shows are good. I don't want to watch them. And that's Walking Dead and Hell on Wheels.
Oh.
No, Hell on Wheels isn't good either.
Oh, the producer says Hell on Wheels is not good. The producer has continued to watch Hell on Wheels. I thought it was good when I started watching, but I thought it was very much not something I wanted to see. Walking Dead, I thought was very good, not something I wanted to see. Breaking Bad, I have not seen. I have always wanted to. I'm sort of... And Mad Men, both of those, I've kind of decided not to because I'm worried it's going to be the same thing. It's very weird getting old. Now that I'm 35, I've turned 35 since
the last episode. And how was your birthday? I was going to ask that.
It was good. I had been sick,
yeah,
as you recall.
Oh, you weren't sure if you'd be able to.
Yeah, so we're doing it tomorrow. Tomorrow's the party.
Oh,
gonna go have a barrel of margaritas. Go crazy.
Okay.
Not monitoring my carbs for tomorrow night. I'm gonna take the night off.
Okay.
They said I could do that every once in a while, and I've still been really good on my carbs. Like, I still have all my blood sugars are beautiful.
Good.
And that's going really well. And today I was very pleased with myself because somebody brought in cupcakes. And they looked really good. They were homemade. And I didn't eat one in the morning. But then at lunch, the way my lunch did, I ended up doing it. So I only did so many carbs. And I can move a little bit around, like for a snack or whatever. So I saved enough for my snack so I could have a cupcake. And I even checked with somebody later because, you know, you started guessing on the carbs. And I checked with somebody who's really in a position to know. And she actually guessed fewer carbs than what I had assumed. And so, yeah, I did good.
Baby.
Yes? At least two.
You have to repeat the question.
No, we'll just leave it at that. At least two. No. The producer yelled from the other room, before the diabetes, how many cupcakes would you have eaten? And the answer is at least two. And it might have been more, excuse me, because I took the cupcake right after lunch and set it on my desk, but couldn't touch it till snack time, which drove me crazy. But I knew they would be gone by that time,
yes,
otherwise.
Make sure, yes.
Except they weren't. By the end, there was one still sitting there. And eventually somebody came and got that. But had it before the diabetes, I would have eaten that a long time before. Yeah, no, I would have. And there were actually, somebody had brought some leftover like muffins and things that were down the hall. I would have eaten a bunch of those today, too, and I didn't touch those.
Now see how fun self-discipline can be.
But it's weird. Like I said, it's really easy, and I'm noticing a difference, and I'm feeling really good about it, and I'm kicking diabetes ass.
Good.
And I make so much noise about it at work, and I'm so, like, enthusiastic and stuff. And, you know, like, a couple people have wanted to have their blood sugar tested, and I've tested it for them and stuff like that. One of my coworkers actually said the other day, I don't know how you did it, but you've kind of made diabetes seem cool. And I told the producer tonight, I said, yeah, I'm pretty much a diabetes rock star at work.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because she found out that a coworker of hers, who I only know very tangentially, heard about my diabetes, and she doesn't remember telling him. And I'm like, it might have just been around, because I talk about it a lot.
Yep. Well.
It's going well, but tomorrow, yep. Tomorrow I'm going to cut loose for one night.
All bets are off, huh?
I still think it may go well, actually, because oddly enough, there's no carbs in the alcohol. And they actually can have an effect of lowering the blood sugar. When you're diabetic, one of the big things is you're supposed to eat with your alcohol, not because of too much alcohol, but because it can actually dip your blood sugar.
Oh.
Now, since it'll be margaritas, I think it'll probably err on the other side. And I probably, well, I don't know. If I'm drunk, it might not be good to be messing with Lancets. But I might tomorrow night, just for sort of academic purposes, test my blood sugar and see what that night does to it.
Is there a possibility that you could avoid getting drunk?
Absolutely. Will that happen? No.
Okay.
No.
Just had to ask.
No. Those margaritas are good.
If you say so.
They are tasty. Yeah. I got really excited, though, because today I mentioned that I was doing it, and somebody's like, oh, we haven't been there. What's it like? And so I was telling them the stuff I like and stuff I didn't like, and it got me extra excited about it. That, and this week has been kicking my ass at work, and so I'm really excited for it to be over. And this weekend, I'm going to order my iPod Touch.
Oh, okay.
And join Twitter.
Okay.
So tune in next week, people, to hear what my Twitter handle is. I'm not saying now because somebody's going to go out and steal it. But you'll know next week once I've got it.
I think this weekend we're going to be doing the same thing we did last weekend.
Try to take over the world!
No.
Oh.
I told you I wrote a script for a sequel to Junior Park Patrol.
Yes.
It's called West High Private Eye.
Yes.
And I think I also told you that the kids decided they were kind of going to try to make it themselves, kind of.
I do recall that, and that's why I can't be part of it.
Yeah. Well,
can't tell a hero by his side. I'm just a West High private eye.
Actually, we should have brought you in because they needed a teacher role, and they actually had me do it.
I thought they had somebody else in mind for
that. They did, and that's the reason I did it was because whoever they were going to do...
Flake.
Or something. And so I was like a last minute, you know... Why didn't I think of calling
you?
You
can't teach.
No. I can't do or teach.
Exactly. Those who can do, those who can't teach, those who can't do or teach are William.
That's right.
That's what the shirt says.
Oh, that's stupid. I should have... I mean, I did it, and it was okay, and the kids thought it was good, but...
I think you'd do perfectly fine.
I'm sure you could have done a better
job.
I
just one of those weird hippie teachers would be me.
But anyway...
I want you to call them by a first name and that kind of shit.
It's she decided to do it for a class project, and so and she procrastinates pretty bad, so we had to shoot last weekend and all this week, and she really didn't actually get it done. There's something she can do to it to make it look like it's done for the grade, but it's not done. I mean, we're going to have to shoot other things. Mm. We might also have to work a little bit on the editing, but I think the footage that I've seen is good enough that if we are really tricky with how we edit it, it's going to be really good. The only thing that I think might not work, no matter how well it's edited, is she insisted that the camera mic was good enough to pick up
everyone
talking and stuff, and it doesn't seem to be the case.
To be fair, isn't that what we use for Inquire Within?
It's what we ended up using.
And the sound came out okay on
Yes, that. Yes. And
I mean, not professional level, but functional.
We used a boom mic for Junior Park Patrol, and we used for Will vs. Chocolate, we used a boom mic.
You could have asked me. You could have borrowed this.
Sounded a lot better. I never knew when she was, you know, right. Everything's been sort of seat of your pants kind of thing. And I mean, that's why I'm in it. And the other two, besides, you know, the kids are in it too. And the other two kids, they got to be in it, are both good. I was there when they shot one of the interrogation scenes with a young woman, and she was great.
Was her name Pearl? And was she like 4?
No.
Oh. That would have been awesome.
So there's a lot of jokes in it that make reference to the original that people won't even get if they haven't seen the original.
So see the original, people.
But I think it's going to turn out pretty good. Again, my only concern is the sound might not be... You might not be able to hear very well what people are saying. And anyway, the kids both insist...
If only you could bring in some sort of Belgian to tweak the sound.
Well, they both insist that in post you can do stuff like that and that they're going to do that, but I don't know. But the good news is most of it is already shot. We'll probably do... That's like one scene we have to do over the weekend. And then hopefully right after that we can go look at editing and see if we can make it a little bit better than what she submitted for the grade. And we actually might have something to put out on YouTube before, you know, the week's out that's actually pretty good. And the music's all being provided by one of the kids. So
cool.
Because he's a musician and a composer. So I'm kind of excited to see how that turns out.
Downloaded a program to let you screw around with music, and I was looking for something that's essentially a PC equivalent to GarageBand.
Okay.
And I looked around and I found something. First of all, I'm having trouble just understanding it.
Okay.
And second of all, what I'm really looking for is something like, you know, like the old days where you had the Casio keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you could play it like a piano or, you know, put in a different instrument or whatever. But you also could do, like, the chord mode where you just hit things and it would just make... I want to do that because I just want some really generic music that I put together that we can use as the backdrop for, like, if we do a new intro or something like that.
Okay.
And this does not seem to do that.
Okay.
But I don't know what does.
Hmm.
So...
Aside from those Casio keyboards and whatever.
Yeah, exactly, and plug one of those in or whatever. I'm looking for just software that'll do it. And what I got is something called Temper that apparently is really cool. But I want to make music without having to go to the trouble of making music. So if that doesn't sound too stupid and any listeners know anything, you know, let us know on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And hopefully I will put up a link to Green Machine or Junior Park Patrol.
Junior Park Patrol. One that works. I don't know if the one that you thing. Linked to my site works. That's the
I'll just Google it and see what I can come up with.
Well, okay. Hopefully that'll work.
Well, I can actually play it and see.
Yeah. Because we had it on Google Video for a while, which has since shut down to begin with, but that version never played right. I uploaded one to Facebook, and it's like on my wall, like a month ago or something. So, but I don't know how one would watch that. You know, maybe I need to find a version that's good and upload it to YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Well,
I assume you have hard copy. I mean, not hard.
Yeah,
copy,
we do. Does YouTube let you put content in that's like 16 minutes? Because it seems like they used to have a limit.
I think so. Oh my God, I think so. You know why?
Why?
The fan-made Star Wars is finally up.
Yeah, I watched half of it, but I thought maybe they had to have some special account to do that or something.
I don't know. There are tricks, I think, but I don't know the details. I've never uploaded a YouTube video in my life. How is that?
Well, like I said,
I really want to see that, but I really don't want to take 2 hours.
Oh, well, I've only watched half of it so far, but I only stopped because, you know, it was like the kids were coming home and stuff. I liked it. I thought it was really interesting.
I've always thought it sounded brilliant.
Yeah. I do want to watch the whole thing, but probably not more than once. You know, it's just, it's just cool little, some stuff's cooler than others, obviously, and some of it is like, just like there's a Jawa scene where kids are just running around, obviously, their living room with blankets on their heads.
I mean, and that's, I'm just like, I love it conceptually.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'll actually love it.
The only thing that bad about it is when you see a little 12-second segment and you think it's really interesting, well, then
you're gone right you're gone after. After. Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
It seems like they're using some people are in there twice, it looks like.
Oh.
Because you see something and it does look like something you saw earlier, or maybe two or three times. But yeah, sometimes you'll see something and it's really good and you think, wow, I wish I could see the whole thing in this.
You think maybe George Lucas like snuck in some homemade stuff under a false name?
No.
That would have been
awesome. A lot of it's animated, which is really, really? Cool. Okay. Yeah, a lot of it...
Because the sample shit that I saw back in the day was all live action.
Well, a lot of it, most of it is, but there's a lot of animation. There's a little bit of stop motion, which is kind of
cool. Oh, wow.
Some better than others. Some stop motion is just someone's got their action figures.
I hope there's really a dumb. Claymation destruction of the Death Star.
Oh, that would be neat.
Squish! That would be awesome.
Let's see, what else do they... Like I said, you've got the stuff that's really... Like I said, kids with blankets on their heads in the living room. I mean, let's see, what else? And sometimes, like, there's one section where it's just a green computer keyboard and each thing that happens is just typed out, so you don't see anything. So some people got creative like that, like making it completely different. And what I really like, I don't know if I really like it, but I find it very interesting, is sometimes... the segments, you know, the people are in completely different types of costume or... Oh, here's the best one that I'd really like to see is one segment is in the part of the film where Obi-Wan's training Luke with the remote.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Whatever. But the people who shot it did it like it was during the Civil War. And so the costuming and their accents and, you know... What's happening is Luke is like a Union soldier and he's got a blindfold on and a sword, and Obi-Wan is picking apples out of a bucket and throwing them.
Oh,
at him.
Man!
And he's blocking by hitting the apples.
Oh, that is so too awesome for 15 seconds.
And it's just, and the acting is really good and the quality of the film's really good. They could do the whole film like
totally.
This.
Totally.
And we really neat. But you know, because and with that section. And Han Solo's in it, and you know he's talking about how he's never seen anything like a force that controls everything, and you're just wondering, well, what did they do with Darth Vader, you know, and what did they do with?
Yeah,
it just would be really cool to know how they handled each thing, because they completely, they even changed some of the lines and stuff to make it fit, you know, the period and everything.
Yeah.
So, I'm very interested when some of the clips do that, when they make little changes to fit a different aesthetic, you know?
Because that implies there's a bigger project.
Yeah.
Some of these definitely put them together just for this.
Right, right.
But yeah, that implies that there's a larger one.
A lot of them have the original soundtrack in just a different video track.
Oh, okay.
Some of them try to replace the audio with their own voices and their own music. Usually they're singing the music in the background.
Yeah.
But when you see one where where, you know, the costuming is very different and the sets are very different. Like, they didn't even try to make it anything like the original, except they just wanted to make a story that was similar with similar type characters and the lines almost the same, but set in a different time and place with different types of characters. I think that's really interesting. And that was my favorite one, but there are a few other ones like that too. And I think it's worth watching really even just to see that stuff.
Yeah.
And some of the animation is really good too, by the way.
Oh, I have to check it out. I just have to ramp my way up to pretty much any YouTube video that's more than 6 minutes.
Well, it is 2 hours long, and that is kind of a pain, but it's fun to watch. I thought about having the whole family watch it, but I didn't think they'd be as interested in it as I was, and I knew they'd be more disappointed when they saw a little 12-second clip they liked and said, moving on to this crap. I want to watch that. Yeah. But it would be great. I hope
in the future of multimedia they'll have a thing like this. But you'll be able to click, and then you'll get to see the whole thing movie. Of just that part. Yeah.
Well, it was really neat, and so I encourage people to give it a look. I've only seen an hour, but I hope to watch the other hour later.
What was I about to say? Oh, I saw a thing on Facebook from somebody who still lives in Oregon that was this great image, and on one side it says what Eastern Oregonians think all Western Oregonians look like. And it's like this ultimate hipster picture of like the guy with the beard and big mustache, and he's got a wolf tattoo on his chest, and this plaid shirt that's open, and he's really skinny, and he's wearing like bike shorts, and he's holding like a Pabst or something. Like, it was the epitome of like just the obnoxious sort of hipster character. And then the other side said what all Western Oregonians think Eastern Oregonians are like, and it had a picture of Sand Person. And I was like, I don't know why. It's become its own genre. I love sand people humor.
You do, huh?
Just as a whole. Like, the bit about, and then I asked Jesus, why was there only one set of footprints? And Jesus said, because sand people travel in single file to disguise their number. Or, in an old episode of, Family Guy, where I don't even remember what the setup was, but the guy from Family Guy is trying to conduct a choir of sand people, and of course they sound like hell, and then they run off, and then Obi-Wan comes on and says they startle easily, but they will return and in greater number, and Peter says, oh, that'll be nice, that'll make a richer, warmer sound, and Obi-Wan goes, yeah, it's gonna be great. I don't, but it's like become a genre of the sand people humor, and I love it. I love all sand people jokes.
Okay.
I have yet to see the bad sand people joke, and I'm sure it can be done, but
I'll have to give it some thought.
Yes.
I don't know any sand people jokes. I might come up with some.
By the way, Precious, based on the novel Push by Sapphire. Mm-hmm. That is possibly the best entry for the movies that sound like shitting ever.
Nice. I thought we were done with that.
Well, the problem
sullied one of our episodes with that idea.
I sullied a few episodes with that idea. No, the problem is, if you'll recall from the backstory of this, I learned about it watching the Nerdist episode with Jonathan Colton, who had learned it from John Hodgman, who apparently learned it from Justin Long while on doing the Apple I'm a Mac, I'm a PC commercials. Well, not too long ago, I listened to the Nerdist episode with John Hodgman. So, of course, they revisited the issue.
Great. And we're so glad they did.
I think that's the winning entry, and after that, you can't top that.
Good. Are we done talking about it now?
Why do you always shy away from poop discussions? Why, William? What are you so afraid of?
It's not that. It's,
is it bacteria? Bacteria?
Really, you know
what?
It's
bacteria.
It's not that it's scatological at all.
You might not see them, but they're there.
No. It's not that aspect of it. It's the aspect of it that plants something in your head. Right? So that you're always thinking when you hear a film title, whatever. That's what I don't want.
today...
That's the part. I don't care about it being about poop. I care about it being something that gets lodged in your brain and you can't get it out.
Poop in your brain that you hate.
Yes.
Today I'm on the top floor of my building. That's where I work, is on the top floor of this building. And I hit the elevator button. And somebody's coming down the hall and they're like, "Are you going down?" And I said, "Yeah." And she's like, "I guess there's no other choice, is there?" And I said, "Unless you're Willy Wonka." Because, you know, the elevator goes out the top or whatever. And we're getting in the elevator and she says, "Now I'm going to have that Oompa Loompa song in my head all day." And because she said it, I'm like, now I am.
Yep.
And of course I did. All afternoon, I'm like, "Oompa Loompa." You're welcome, listeners. Enjoy. Yeah, we got a poltergeist or something.
I see that.
I don't know what's going on there.
There's weird light things going on.
Weird things going on. There's actually just one lamp that's being an asshole. You just fart.
No, you've got a bottle on the floor that just...
Yeah, blame it on the bottle. Uh-huh.
It wasn't me, trust me.
We might have to call this episode Men Without Hats.
Why?
Because we've gone over 40 minutes. On our own.
That's too bad.
So, and jokes about the band Men Without Hats are also always good.
Oh, okay.
Actually, they usually suck, but I still laugh. There's a surprising number of jokes about that.
Okay.
Well, really, would more than one surprise you? There's more than one, so.
I suppose that's true.
There you go. All right, shall we pull out the hat?
Yeah, our listeners are going to be very upset that we
blathered
on for 40 minutes.
Always very upset. I'm going to tell you something. Hold on, though. I'm going to say something to people. I love you guys very much. Except Azure Talon. Fuck that guy. I'm going to finally meet him in a couple weeks. But anyway, I love you guys, except Azure Talon. But here's the thing. When it comes to writing the hat, we've discussed the whole don't write too big of a thing. And some of you listen and some of you don't. It is for those who listen that I'm going to say these other things here. On the hopes that you will also listen to this. When you're writing questions or topics, quality is better than quantity. If you write 40 questions that are basically who let the dogs out, like, we're going to pull those out of there. We're going to hate him. We're going to cry. We're going to make fun of you. And we're going to move on in like 30 seconds and it's going to suck. So do this. Don't think of what's a funny topic or what's a good question. Think about this. What do I want William and Tony to talk about? That's a good thing to write in about.
What if it's nothing?
That's what I was
going to ask. Then stop listening.
They can't hear me.
The producer asked, what if it's nothing? I was going to ask the same question. What if they don't want us to talk about anything?
Then they should stop listening. And if they're my wife, they should find an outside activity on Thursday night. But fortunately, remarkably few of our listeners are my wife.
I don't listen.
So it's zero. She said, responding for the third time to the stuff she's not listening to. Anyway, so think that in mind. And also, maybe just one or maybe two questions per email. If you really want to send more, maybe send more than one email. Some of you are good at this. But we've learned something, and this is nobody's fault, but I just discovered this.
Mm-hmm.
The hat uses Gmail, as we all know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you write multiple emails with the exact same subject line, Gmail puts them all together in essentially one email
right.
blob.
Right.
And that is harder to work with.
Yeah. For the hat.
For the hat, because sometimes the hat, when it's transcribing, leaves messages unread until they've been transcribed. And so if it's one big blob, then the hat has to transcribe all those blobs at once or not at all. And that can be complicated. So if you're sending multiple emails, maybe little bit different subject. You can just put, you know, question one, question two, or whatever in the subject. That would be helpful to the hat. So thank you for this public service announcement. Okay. It is hat time.
And of course, the reason hat uses Google is because Google is evil and the hat is evil. See, more
you're
evidence.
You're very brave to say that as you're putting your hand in there. Aren't you worried that if you make a crack like that with your hand in there, it's going to, like, bite it off or something?
No, because I'm protected.
Oh. Hillbilly magic.
Blood Sparrow says...
Blood Sparrow!
Cilantro.
Cilantro.
The devil's parsley?
Well, cilantro to you, too.
The devil's parsley or just misunderstood?
Okay. Here's what I have gleaned over the years about cilantro. Okay? Okay.
Go.
I fucking love cilantro.
Oh.
I could just eat handfuls of cilantro.
Oh, really?
I totally could. Some people do not like it. Those people, by and large, seem to feel it tastes like soap.
Wow.
I have heard from more than one source, but I'm not going to say for any unassailable source, but from sources, that this is in fact a genetic condition wherein cilantro tastes like soap to you, and so you hate it. It definitely seems to be a polarizing herb. And I know people who really can't stand it. I love it. The producer loves it. It's like the only thing in the world we agree on. We just fucking throw bales of cilantro into everything we eat.
Well, I have something to confess. I think cilantro tastes like soap.
See?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Although...
And the weird part is, actually, if I'm tasting it, I can kind of see what you're talking about, right. But it's like I have to pay attention.
But now, here's the thing.
You like soap. You eat lots of soap.
No. It's
you have
used,
a weird diet.
It's used a lot in my house, the cooks in my house. Now, I don't know if this is how I was raised or what, but you know, aside from the things that I just shouldn't eat because I don't eat them, like meat, you know, if someone serves me meat, I feel terrible and I feel rude, but I have to refuse because I'll probably get sick if I eat it. But so long as it's not that, something that will make me ill, if they're using a seasoning that I don't particularly like, I feel like it's rude, you know, to say.
So you just fucking eat it.
So I just eat it. And the truth is, our house uses a lot of cilantro.
And you haven't liked it this whole time, and you have just eaten it because you're nice.
No, I've grown to actually like it.
Oh, now this is a thing. This is a thing that the producer found out about. I don't know if I talked about this one here before. Supposedly, and this completely contradicts what I just said about the cilantro, I suddenly realized. So I don't know which is true. Huh. But supposedly, all food aversions are... none of them are physiological or like genetic. They are all environmental, meaning you can overcome any of them. Traditionally, the way you do it is just eat a lot of whatever that thing is. She read a book called, I believe, The Man Who Ate Everything, and it's by a food critic that we actually knew from Iron Chef, that because he was a food critic, felt it was unfair that there were foods he didn't like. And so then if a dish had that food, he would dislike the dish, and he thought that was not fair since his job was to critique food. So he actively worked to get rid of all of his food aversions and eventually, in his opinion, achieved it. And I have seriously considered this because there are some foods I don't like that I wish I did because they are commonly found in dishes that I otherwise like. Cucumbers and olives are the two particular big ones. I don't like either of those. But there's a lot of stuff with them that I would like otherwise.
Well, I mean, there's very few things that I don't like. And,
me too.
And
me
while
too.
I thought cilantro, in fact, I can't really think of anything I don't like. There are things I won't eat for certain reasons, but...
also slavery.
Yeah.
You don't like slavery.
I mean, in terms of food. Cilantro...
You don't like eating slavery either.
I thought cilantro was... tasted a little, like soap, but it wasn't like... ooh, don't ever put that on anything I'm going to eat. You know, I was served it, I ate it, and now I appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah. I'm not sure I liked cilantro when I was younger. I don't really know. I'm sure I ate it, but I don't
I doubt I would you know, if I were cooking something that I'd ever reach for cilantro myself to put it in something. But there are things that I have that have cilantro in them that now I can't imagine having it without cilantro in it.
It makes a big difference. It's very polarizing stuff.
So, but yes, I definitely understand the whole tastes like soap thing. Because yes. That's what I thought when I first started eating it.
I know people who feel that way about certain kinds of blue cheese as well. And I can sort of see where they're coming from there too. I also love blue cheese though. Maybe I like soap. I don't know that I've eaten soap. Maybe I should try it.
Well, even if there's a genetic component making somebody kind of sense that soapy taste when they eat it.
Which there totally is, but also there totally is not based on two things I have said.
Well, no. Even if there was a genetic component, your brain can still interpret the information it gets in a very particular and deliberate way.
So your brain can eventually decide it like soap.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or it can start noticing other things about the flavor and how it combines with other flavors and sort of ignore the soap part.
Yeah.
So it doesn't... in other words, the way you're going to test the genetic component is by giving it to people who've never had it before. And the people who immediately think it tastes like soap are going to be those and the ones that don't. But over time, the ones, if they keep eating it, they're not going to like to think of it tasting like soap. So they're going to start thinking of it tasting like something else.
Mm. Maybe I like soap.
Well, that's possible, too.
I should try it.
But it's also possible that a person just changes their way of thinking about it.
I feel like you're not on board with me just eating soap.
Well, I'm not, because, I mean, if you're going to try it, you better be careful, because there are some things in soap that are pretty nasty.
But wouldn't it be funny? Wasn't there, like, a Brady Bunch episode like this?
I don't know. I don't even know why I know what soap tastes like, because I think I do know what
I think I do,
like.
Too. I think watching my face and got something.
You're
going to
get some in your mouth. Sure.
I think I've had that happen. It probably depends on the brand. I mean, I wash with Irish Spring, and I can't imagine that would be one you'd go for. I more like, you know, Ivory, Dial, something like that.
No, you want that. That's
the oatmeal.
What's the kind that's supposed to be 99% pure?
That's Ivory.
Yeah,
99.44% pure. What?
Yeah, we don't know. No.
Especially because I think I've been to like a Living History Farms kind of thing and found out how they originally accidentally made Ivory soap, and it wasn't that pure of an experience. So.
Well, most soap originally was made with like tallow or lard or something
like that. But that's the thing. Soap used to be a powder. Hmm. It wasn't a bar until stupid things happened.
Okay.
And then, but tallow, beef tallow, I'll just eat that.
Well, sure, right, yeah.
That's what I'm going to start telling people. Cilantro tastes like beef tallow. Totally. Seriously, taste it. Doesn't it taste like beef tallow to you? Come on. You don't see the similarity?
Now, we have to have at least two questions.
Oh.
I like Blood Sparrow's questions, though. Devil's Parsley, you're just misunderstood.
So yeah, that's the thing. I think Blood Sparrow gets it. I think Blood Sparrow actually writes us things that she would like us to talk about.
Is she a teacher's pet now?
Possibly.
Everybody in the class needs to be more like Blood Sparrow.
Especially Azutalan. Fucking hate you, guy. Okay. Here's one from Beth. Shockingly, it appears to have been digested.
Oh.
That never happens with Beth's questions.
No?
She never writes us 100 fucking pages in one email for a single question with 8 examples and cross-references and... No, not at all. Okay. I forgot what my joke was. Okay.
Do we really have time for this one? Maybe we should put it back and pull out.
No, this is an important one.
Okay.
This is important.
We don't have time. We're running out of time.
It doesn't turn off at an hour.
I know, but our listeners lose interest within the first 5 minutes. How are we going to keep
it? I know, so what the fuck are we worrying about now? Nobody's listening anymore.
Okay.
Dear the Magical Talking Hat, how do you know when to use effect versus affect?
Oh, man.
Beth.
Well.
This is my thing.
Well, good. Then you explain it, because I've had it explained to me a gazillion times, and I got to the point where I just avoid doing it because It seems like I get contradictory instructions on what to do.
This is my pet peeve, this thing.
I thought I used to know that they're completely different words, they mean completely different things, but then someone was talking to me and I was thinking, what? Those sound like they talk about the exact same thing.
Here's the thing. The actual truth behind it all and the actual rules for it are fairly complicated.
Can I tell you what I used to think? What I thought because someone told me.
Lay it on me.
And then you can correct me because I know you like to do that. Effect.
Wrong! Oh, sorry. I got
no,
excited.
No, yeah, just.
Okay, wait.
Hold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait for it.
Okay.
Effect was like cause and effect. You know, like you're talking about something that happens as a result of something else. Affect is like, you know, an affectation. Like it has some kind of emotional impact. You're talking about how people respond to it. It's not like a billiard ball kind of thing. So, and even though that sounds complex by itself, it made sense to me, and it seemed like I was using the word in the proper way in each place, but then I wasn't, and someone tried to explain it to me, and they just muddied the waters completely.
Yeah. I think you have overcomplicated it well, first of all, you're not quite right.
Well, yeah, I know that.
But you're close.
Oh, okay.
But I think the way you thought about it is, I have a way that makes you as close as that is, and is way simpler.
Oh, okay, good.
And here's what the main issue is. Effect, there's like three different ways you use it. And two of them don't come up a lot.
Okay.
Which means with a very simple process, you can have 80 to 90% accuracy.
Okay.
And what this is, basically this. Effect is a noun. Affect is a verb. If you think of it that way, you get it usually right. As I said, with effect, it's tricky. There are certain things where you have a verb effect, and also if you effect a change in something, that's with an E.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some circumstances where the E one sneaks in.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, if you're going to cause an effect, if you're going to make an effect happen, if you're looking at an effect, a noun, it's with an E. If you affect something,
mm-hmm.
it's with an A.
Huh.
And that's most of the uses right there. So if you do that, you will usually not be an idiot.
Hmm.
And also, that's the one that makes me mad, because that people fuck that one up all the time. And that is my little peeve. Many of us nerds have very specific linguistic peeves, and that is mine. On the other hand, I have very little issue with the phrase on accident, which is not correct. You say by accident,
mm-hmm.
but on accident. On the other hand, could care less makes me punch people in the throat.
Yeah, we've talked about that one, actually, I think.
Also, irregardless pisses me off and also makes me think of Jeff. Because Jeff used that all the goddamn time and it was hilarious. But other than, unless Jeff is saying it, which always cracks me up, it pisses me off. So yeah, there are some that everybody has their... Well, not everybody. Everybody smart has their specific ones that drive them crazy. I a little bit have one on its and its and its and its. I have it less with the whole there, and there thing, just because other than in jokes about it, I very seldom see that misused.
What about the your problem?
Oh, the your problem pisses me off somewhat. But again,
see, none of them.
Those have become such a thing that I see them misused less often than I just see jokes about them being misused.
Well, I don't get upset about any of those things because because, you know, I'm a screw up in general. I mean, I know the difference between the different itses and the different yours and the different theirs, but sometimes you just have a typo. It's not that you don't know how to use these words. You're just typing along and your fingers go vroop and there it is.
Well, now that I'm going to have my iPod Touch and I'm going to be tweeting and texting and things, we'll have to see if I start shortening my words and things, because normally that's not how I am.
Yeah.
And to quote Strong Bad, I don't care how you spell things on the internet. When you email me, you spell the whole word out.
Well, like I said, I don't get upset about those things because I know how easy it is when you're quickly typing to just make a very simple, stupid mistake.
Yes.
But effect, the two effects, effect and effect and affect, I mean, they're both of those have really bothered me for a long time.
I'm telling you, that simple way will cover most of your bases.
But see, I need all of my bases covered because when I write, I have
then
to know.
Then look it up.
Yeah, I have looked it up, and every explanation I get is really confusing.
Well, then have me read your drafts. Maybe I'll fix it for you.
I should do that.
And to paraphrase Strong Bad, if it's supposed to be possessive, it's just ITS. But if it's supposed to be a contraction, then it's IT apostrophe S. Scalawag.
Good. I think we're done.
I think so.
Well, thank you, Beth and Bloodsparrow.
That was the B episode.
Yep.
Beth and Bloodsparrow.
Just two today, because we had to go on and on about whatever we went on and on about.
Poop.
No, that was just a little part of it. Why do you have to...
It's a little bit of poop.
I suppose you're right. A little bit contaminates the whole thing, doesn't it?
Totally. Yeah, this is really... I mean, E. coli.
Yeah, ask somebody. If there was just a little bit of poop in your glass of water, would you still drink it?
Yeah,
no.
Did you feel...
No, it's, you wouldn't.
Not a lot of poop. At the time poop is involved, very few situations does the amount matter.
No, that's right.
There are some, usually involving chores outside and livestock,
yeah,
where the amount matters. But in general, it's just, it's an either or.
Yeah.
It's
any amount is bad. That's right.
Or at least any amount is the same regardless.
Yes.
It's a one or a zero. Poop, no poop. That's it.
Well, you know, sometimes we get reports from the people who process our water in Coralville, you know, and they'll report how many fecal whatever in there, and it's like you don't want to see any number there.
Why
at all.
Why do you look at those reports?
It's a really tiny number, you know. It's like so small it shouldn't even matter. But there's a number.
Why
there.
Do you look at reports like that? That's like reading
I
the Twinkie.
Know.
Package,
I don't know
like...
why I do any of the things I do. And then you want to broadcast most of it, and that's what I really don't understand.
It's a podcast.
I guess.
Alright. Anyway, thank you for listening, people. Email the hat. Tell us what to talk about. Otherwise, we're just going to talk about everything Bloodsparrow has to say. So, speaking of which, somebody do the work and find... There's a YouTube clip of her doing stand-up.
There is?
She says there is.
Ooh.
But she refuses to take the effort to find it. And she, I'm sure, is less lazy than me. Anyway, what I'm saying is I refuse to take the effort to find it. But it's not under Bloodsparrow. She got more specific. Maybe she'll say on the... I think it may already be on the blog, but if not, maybe she'll say again, like, where, how to find it. But then we have to find it. So somebody find it, post it to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. The rest of you email the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com at... No. Scratch that. That's what I do when I'm reading to the producer. I'll, like, read her books. And if, like, I get tongue-tied in a sentence, I usually eventually just stop by going... and then backing up and starting again. Email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Try that one instead.
Yeah.
It's better. And that's it for now.
Yep.
Like us on Facebook. Someday you may be able to enjoy us on Google Plus. Is that what it called on Google Plus? Enjoy instead of like? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Dig us. get into our groove. Put the hat in. Can the hat have its own circle?
The hat already is its own circle.
Really?
It's magic!
That's right, it is magic.
Don't forget the magic.
But I'm going to join Google Plus and Twitter partially to promote the podcast and partially to be awesome. But the hat is not joining those things. I am joining those things. Sort of on behalf of the hat. So it's still going to be my Twitter feed and my Google Plus account. So, deal. But like the hat on Facebook because it's there and it wants you to. And email us and post on the blog. And I'm going to post what? I'm going to post Junior Park Patrol.
Junior Park Patrol.
Is that it?
I think so.
Maybe I'll post a Star Wars thingy.
Well, sure, a link to it. That'd be fine. Yeah. It's on YouTube.
And My Drunk Kitchen. No, I'm not going to post that one. Go to YouTube. Look up My Drunk Kitchen. Do it. Trust me. Do it.
It's a little bit weird.
It's hilarious.
I guess.
It's like I'm stalling now. Let's just,
yeah, what are you doing?
I don't know. we will talk to you again next week.
Next week. Episode 47. See, I'll say it now so I don't have to remember.
47. Yeah, because that absolves you of... Yes. Give me 47 Hail Marys. Go in peace.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.